Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Deyoub. I'm the president and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce, and it's my pleasure today to have as our guest Mr. Jose Contreras. Jose heads up a number of initiatives in our community in partnership with not only El Paso businesses, but also with numerous businesses in Ciudad Juarez. In fact, it was Jose and I who got to know each other through some of our affiliations, including Canaco. And so before we get into all those definitions and discussions, I want to first welcome you, Jose.
Thank you.
And offer you an opportunity to do some opening remarks.
Glad to be here. Actually, my name is Jose Contreras, and I'm the Vice President for International Relations for the CANACO, which is the Cámara Nacional de Comercio, Servicios y Turismo in Ciudad Juárez.
So now that you said that so fast, would you please tell people what that actually means? What is CANACO? What does it do?
Well, CANACO is basically a chamber of commerce, and we have close to 2,000 members. It used to be higher than that, but as you well know, there was a crisis all over the world, and some businesses closed up, and some of them are reopening again. So this is what we do. We help businesses. We have training. We have different people from the government coming over and working with our stores, with our different tourist sector. And we also invite different people to come over to our chamber and teach different business needs, to work with our business people, and even salesmanship we teach. So we have a very, very extensive curriculum for our clients.
That's very helpful. And for clarification, because not unlike in El Paso, by the way, so we have a couple of chambers of commerce here. You have in Juarez Canaco, but you also have other organizations that do slightly different things than you do, such as Desarrollo de Económico de Juarez. Why don't you talk a little bit about what they do?
Well, Desarrollo Económico does more or less what Borderplex does, and they work together, as a matter of fact. We work with Desarrollo Económico. We work with Canacintra, which is a chamber of industry. We work with the Maquiladora Association and other different ones. We are part of CCE, which is Consejo Coordinador Empresarial, in which all the major groups work together for the betterment of the city and for the betterment of the region.
Great. Thank you. For clarification for me personally, and this is not unusual in other foreign countries as well as Mexico, but the CANACO, do they not receive some partial funding from either the city government of Juarez or the state government of Chihuahua?
There's very little funding. Basically, when we have a program, for example, like the Feria or the Beer Fest, we might have some rental that we don't have to pay. We might have some promotional materials. We might have some money for advertising. So we do get something like that. But
okay.
Basically, the money comes from clients, if you want to call them that way, or the membership.
Members, just like the chamber.
Exactly.
Our chamber is fully funded by our investors, period. We don't take any public funds from the city or the county. Many years ago, we did, when we had the responsibility of economic development. Now it's Borderplex, and they're doing a great job with it. But I'm going back, well, to the days prior to even Mayor Caballero. That's how far back it goes, when we were charged with that responsibility. And then those two entities funded only that portion of our budget, which was for economic development. Well, that's very interesting. By the way, it's sort of a side note and somewhat humorously. Several years ago, I'm going back probably 5 or 6 years ago, the chamber leadership went to Germany, to Wiesbaden, to meet with the Department of the Army at the Army's request. General Bromberg, who was the commanding general of Fort Bliss at the time, and his command sergeant major, David Davenport, Gus Rodriguez, who's a strong volunteer at the chamber, and we call him Mr. Fort Bliss because he's so well known. He and I and a few others went over to Germany to educate and inform the families of the 1st Armored Division as they were beginning to prepare to move the 1st Armored Division from Germany to Fort Bliss, which is a big thing now, right? It's just an incredible benefit to our community. But as part of our visit, we went and toured Wiesbaden, which is a beautiful city, and we met with the Chamber of Commerce, my counterpart, CEO, in Wiesbaden. And so I asked her, well, how many members do you have? And she said, well, I think at the last count, we had 350,000 members. And I was, needless to say, floored. You know, we have 1,800 members, and we're a pretty large chamber by any measurement in the country. 350,000. Well, as it turns out, in Germany and in many other countries, you're required when you start a business to actually join the Chamber of Commerce. It's mandated to get your business license. So we were trying to figure out a way to convince our mayor to perhaps change the law in El Paso. It would be great for us. It would be great for the Hispanic Chamber. Be awesome, wouldn't it? But anyway, just a little side note.
I had the opportunity to work with the mayor in Juarez when there's a what you call a census for business. It's a federal government census. And what it does is it requires every business that registers with the city and gets a license in Juarez to get into the census, which the chamber, does. So we are there in City Hall. We have an office there, and we register people as they get their license. Before they can get their license, they have to have this census paid for, which is very inexpensive, maybe a few dollars, $10, $20 at the max. But it does give us the opportunity to talk to them about the different opportunities that we offer, and we have increased our membership considerably.
That's wonderful. So before we move on, would you mind telling us the names of the individuals and their titles with Canaco that you and I have met with recently?
Sure. The present president of our chamber is Alejandro Ramirez. He's a very, very successful entrepreneur and business person. And the executive director is Antonio Ruiz, also an excellent young man and very, very hardworking.
By the way, for full disclosure, as a part of your efforts, which I deeply appreciate, we're getting ready to develop a formal working relationship between Canaco and the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce so we can support each other on both sides of the border for our like initiatives, correct?
As for that, it's very important that we do that. Actually, the Holy Father just recently talked about brotherhood. And we are sister chambers. So we have worked together indirectly, but now we are going to work more directly with each other. I have a nephew that says El Paso is North Juarez and Juarez is South El Paso.
Well, he's correct.
And that is correct because we have so many families that are, work with each other so close. The strength of our cities and the strength of our region is very well tied to our chambers and to the business community and the people.
And the success of our communities as well. By way of education and information to our audience, Jose and I really got to know each other better. We've known each other for years, but got to know each other better a number of years ago. The director of field operations at the time for Customs and Border Protection. In fact, I believe it was even before there was a formalized Department of Homeland Security. A gentleman by the name of Luis Garcia, who's still a friend of ours both after all these years, formed a group, a formal working group known as the West Texas Advisory Group. It exists today, and we still meet today, although now the DFO is Mr. Mancha.
Hector Mancha,
Hector,
yes.
Mancha. And so we meet usually on a monthly basis. If they're listening, stop canceling the meetings we've had lately. These are important meetings for all of us. But we meet on a monthly basis. And there's a group of us. There's about 12 or 15 of us that meet. And you want to kind of just share with our audience, not necessarily by name, but you can share names as well, but by organization. Who comprises this group that we meet?
Well, obviously, we have both chambers. We have the Mexican immigration. We have quite a few participants from customs. We also have the maquiladoras. We have the city of El Paso, the bridge, the people from the bridges, the director. We have some visitors there that used to be with the chamber. And we have the airport people. We have a beautiful young lady that is sent whenever she replaces Richard, which is very nice for us to see.
Are you referring to one of my employees?
Yes, okay. Definitely. Very beautiful young lady.
Let's move this conversation up to a higher level. And very important to this also, I think, is, and they make them when they can, we have the council generals of both the Mexican consulate here in El Paso and the U.S. consulate in Ciudad Juarez.
That is correct also,
right?
Yes.
Which is great to have them because there's an insight they
bring. We also have
the
EPA person there, which is great. And this is the Environmental Protection Agency, which is very, very important for our meeting.
Right. And we have some other federal agencies that join us as well. If I'm not mistaken, the U.S., is it the border? No, it's not the border. What's the title of the organization that oversees the Water Commission?
CILA, C-I-L-A, the Mexican one, and the American, I can't remember, the Water Commission. I can't remember the name of it, and I do apologize for that.
And so these folks work together to what end? It's to deal with the issues that we both share from either side of the border, specifically related to the ports of entry, access, times, wait times on the bridges in both directions, and how we can improve processes.
Well, this is a very difficult situation because there is so much traffic going through, and there is a problem, obviously, with people that get think they're very smart bringing in contraband. So it does affect the bridge situation, the lines waiting in line. People really get angry over that, but they've got to understand that this is a tough job for customs. The people there have a very difficult situation, and they're trying to do the best they can. Sometimes they get tired, obviously, like everybody else. We're humans. But most of the time, I've found them to be very nice, very gentlemanly. And obviously, if there are any complaints, you can always call the supervisors, and they will listen to you. We guarantee that.
By the way, I overlooked one important aspect in terms of participation on the WTAG, and that is the city of El Paso. In fact, the whole concept that they're not pursuing, which is to provide some funding for overtime work by the CBP officers, came through the discussions that the mayor, Mayor Leeser, and others had as a part of that group, trying to find solutions to improve movement, particularly for freight, because that's the key to our entire region in terms of trans-border international trade. For our audience, for those of you who do not know this, collectively, we have been averaging per year little over $95 billion in trade, both northbound and southbound, between El Paso and Ciudad Juarez. That's just this one little region, not counting all the other ports of entry across the southern border, all the way down to Laredo. So it's a very significant part of our local economy, as well as our state's economy. And what people don't realize is how important this is to our nation's economy, which I find almost frustrating from time to time when we meet with legislators across the nation to talk about the importance of improving our ports of entry across the southern border, how little they understand how impactful our ports of entry are to their own state's economy. And what happens is they look at this and say, well, we want to shut the borders down. That's the rhetoric that goes on today, without realizing that in their own state, they may have several billions of dollars worth of business through manufacturing that's produced in their home state. And guess who the number one receiver of those goods and services are? It's Mexico. And if they were to shut those borders, what would happen is they would actually be putting people out of work in their own home states. It's the hardest thing we have to do to educate.
Now, one other thing that I would like to mention about this is that we have a tremendous amount of young people from El Paso working in Juarez as executives or as engineers, and a tremendous amount of people work over there. So this is also brings in a lot of money to El Paso.
That's a great point, Jose. We have approximately 380 so-called maquiladoras in Juarez. These are the so-called twin plant manufacturers, and you can almost throw a dart at a map anywhere in the planet, and that country has one or more manufacturing facilities in Ciudad Juarez, whether it's the Pacific Rim or Europe. Of course, our own American companies and numerous Fortune 500 manufacturing companies operate in Ciudad Juarez, like Delphi and Zenith, and the list goes on.
One thing I should note is we have a festival in Juarez of the nation in accordance with the United Nations. But a lot of the people, we have 47 or 48 different groups from all over the world that participate in this festival. And the funny thing about it is a lot of them work in the maquilas. They are Japanese, they're Chinese, they're Russian, German, etc. You name it, we've got them. So it's really incredible the amount of people from all over the world that work in the maquiladoras. But especially, I must say, a lot of El Pasoans, and I mean a lot of them, including my son-in-law.
Which is one of the reasons why the ports of entry and the more efficient operation of those ports is so critical to our region, both northbound and southbound, because as you pointed out, we have so many people commuting both ways. So you mentioned people who live in El Paso and work in Juarez, but we also have people in Juarez, clearly, who work in El Paso. And we have students who go to the University of Texas, El Paso, or to go to some of our private schools in El Paso as well. Well, that gives a little bit of a background, but let's talk a little bit about all the great things that are happening in Ciudad Juarez today that's making things so much better for our Juarenses, our familia in Juarez.
Well, as you well know, and I think most of the people have seen, that downtown is being redecorated. You might say it's beginning to look really nice, remodeling of the different stores. There's going to be more and more centers of business around downtown Juarez. Something that I want to mention very closely is that we have a mural of Juan Gabriel. And what we wanted to do was have an international group of murals from Las Cruces all the way to Juarez, and maybe even Chihuahua wanted to participate. But the first mural that we did of Juan Gabriel brought in 130,000 people for a free concert that he gave. And we had people from New Mexico, from West Texas, even some people from Lubbock, I understand. So this is the things that we can do together, work together, bettering the arts for both our countries and our region. And we can enrich each other very, very much so with art. We can also increase business and tourism when we have things like this that can bring 130,000 people to a concert from the gentleman that was so happy that we did this mural for him. So just think, if we had a mural in El Paso of the Dallas Cowboys, we'd probably get Mr. Romo to come over here and inaugurate it.
Well, he's available right now.
Well, there you go.
He's on the sidelines.
So this would be a good time for a beautiful mural in El Paso. And we could do the same for Sunland Park in Las Cruces.
Well, actually, pointing that out, you raise an interesting point. There is an artist from Mexico. I don't have his name. But in the next several days, there will be an unveiling at the El Paso Museum of Art by this famous Mexican artist, sculpture, that he has created specially for El Paso. And this is the effort's being led by our wonderful Consul General from the Mexican Consulate.
Beautiful gentleman, hardworking boy. He is really, really top of the line.
We've been very blessed from both the U.S.
I must mention his name, Jacob Prado, Consul General. Yes.
We've been very blessed with both the Consul Generals of Juarez at the American Consulate, U.S. Consulate, as well as the Mexican Consulate in El Paso. I've worked with numerous Consul Generals over the last decade or so, and we've been blessed in that they've all been great. But I will tell you that I call him Jacob. It's just easier than Jacob. But Jacob Prado has been the hardest working I've ever met. He is devoted to this region. He loves it here. And he is not just working to get people to go to Juarez. He's working to get Juarenses to come to El Paso and Las Cruces. Every month there's an event in Las Cruces that Jacob Prado is promoting as a Mexican consulate, which you just have to love about his enthusiasm.
Just to give you an idea of what a beautiful person he is, we have a shelter in Juarez with 120 people that have mental problems. And we were having problems getting medical help for them. So I asked Jacob about it, and he said, I'll work on it. So he called the Mexican government in Mexico City and some other people. He started moving some people. We had 7 doctors show up, and ever since then, we have medicine for these people. We're working with them, and he's doing a heck of a job for us.
That's great. So before we shift gears again, talking about arts a moment ago, maybe you can share a little insight for us. I personally love the concept that the Mexican government put together to put the name Mexico in art form in sculptures, using those letters starting from Southern California and going all the way down to Laredo, using the M in one spot, the E in another. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the X in Juarez was one of those things that happened, like the tower in Paris, a beautiful tower over there, where people initially said, ugh, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. And people were against the X completely. Now, everybody loves it. We have incredible, incredible shows. Like right now, we have La Feria, which is a great, great fair. We expect 500,000 people, if Mother Nature permits, with the rain. But they brought in a tower that's called the King Kong Tower by the people. It's called the King Tower. And it's, oh, I've got the information here. It's 289 feet. I mean, that's bigger than the X by 10 meters. So what you do is you get on it, and it brings you all the way to the top, and then it drops you down, you know. Not like tying a rope on you or something. It's kind of like a round, what would you call it, chairs. And it's an incredible ride, and people are flocking all over for it.
Well, Jose, you pointed something out about the feria. And this is important because how many years did we go without a feria in Juarez during the peak of the violence?
We probably went about 4 to 5 years without it. And now it's coming out with a bang. It's incredible. If I can give you a little information on
please.
It. Please. We have 222 modules. There's family fun. There's artisans. The food is incredible. We have all kinds of food in there. We have games. We have artists, national and local artists. We have a circus, theater, rodeo, boxing, wrestling. My gosh, this is incredible. And it goes all the way through the 18th of this month.
The 18th, that's
yes.
Wonderful.
The charge is only $3.75, roughly $3.70, 60 pesos, which
it's
is
very expensive.
And for children, there's no cost. Also for senior citizens, there is no cost.
That qualifies you and me.
Well, I am going to have to admit that I am 72.
But I think the most important point that we'd like to make to our audience is it's back after 4 or 5 years of absence. And it's back because Juarez is becoming a much safer place to visit again. And those of us who have been doing this for 30 or 40 years, and by doing this I mean spending our social hours in Juarez and missed those days when we could safely travel back and forth, it's coming back now.
That is correct
and
also.
It's enabling us to eventually, as much as we can in a world of homeland security, begin to erase that line that's called the border a little bit. It'll never go back to the way it was, not post 9/11, because it's just too important to have security. But at least most El Pasoans who now miss going to Juarez can feel reasonably safe in going back over there and enjoying all the things that they used to do for all those many years.
That is correct, right? Also, yes. I agree with you. We have some excellent restaurants over in Juarez. I mean, Mexican food that is really, really Mexican food. I mean, our food here is basically Tex-Mex. And the beautiful...
El Pasoans would take issue with that. I'm sorry. Well, we don't serve Tex-Mex in El Paso.
Well, we do. We do. We have Tex-Mex, and you didn't allow me to finish. we also have great, great Mexican food. We have great restaurants that are basically nationally recognized. We have New Mexico with Mexican food that's called New Mexican food because they put a lot of this great chili. So we have a beautiful region that's got all kinds of great food, and people that come here from different countries, they love it.
Yeah, I agree with you. My wife, we're both tennis players. Recently, my wife went to Juarez with a group of her girlfriends to play tennis at the Campestre because it's the only place in the area that have clay tennis courts. And unfortunately, they got rained out. So what did they do? They went to Maria Trichena.
Oh, that's great. That's a great restaurant.
To have brunch.
Yes.
And, of course, that's just one of many restaurants in the region. You're right. Juarez has some phenomenal restaurants. Great for anyone who has a passion for the culinary experience. And so we don't want them to forget that. And then recently, Mayor Serrano hosted a great tour for a lot of El Pasoans to come to Juarez, and
the
New
people
Mexicans
from New Mexico, yes.
To come over and just get an experience for the day of how things have transformed. And I spent many of my college days in Juarez. I was amazed by the transformation of the downtown area and the streets with the beautiful lamps and all the things that they're doing to really appeal to the traffic, the tourist traffic to come over to Juarez.
Well, we're very, very happy with Mayor Serrano. He's done a really incredible job. And also, I must say, Governor Duran has also helped out Juarez a lot. So things are transforming very, very much so. And I think it's important for people in El Paso and the region to realize, and we will be working together. We will increase tourism as it happens, working together with the El Paso Chamber and with the different organizations that are, you know, involved with tourism.
Well, Jose, we're running out of time, So if there is a closing comment you'd like to make.
Well, actually, it's not so much a closing comment, but I would like to say the only time I ever played golf, I got a brand new set of golf clubs from my wife, and she gave them to me for Father's Day. So this guy's invited me for a foursome. So they start, and I'm the last one. So I get my wood, I knew that much. And then I start going down, going down, going down. And everybody starts falling on the grass, just laughing so hard because my wife bought me a set of golf clubs for a little kid. So I went.
Okay. I'm not sure how that relates to this conversation.
Well, it's just talking about golf, but I'm closing with something. Hopefully it'll be a little joke for the golfers. They will realize that. And we have a beautiful golf course in Juarez.
You certainly do.
So this is what I wanted to say, that it's also great and it's open. A lot of people from the Maquilas, a lot of executives from El Paso go, and we have a beautiful tournament from the Chamber of Commerce in Juarez, and it's already closed. I mean, we have so many people wanting to get in on it.
Well, congratulations. I also want to thank you once again for being our guest today.
Al contrario.
Again, you've been listening to El Paso Primetime, and my closing comment to you, as this show will air sometime before December 31st, is to remind every one of you, you're listening to KTEP, which lives solely on your support and your generosity. Perfect time to write a check during the holidays to support KTEP and get a tax deduction in the process. So we thank you for your time.
Yo quiero decir a todos los compañeros que escuchan KTEP que no dejen de ayudar lo más que puedan, juarenses y paseños que escuchan a KTEP como lo hago yo el 88.5 todos los días, ayuden. Ayuden, ayuden. Manden un chequecito o su tarjeta de crédito será bien recibida.
Muchas gracias, José. Gracias. Thank you.